Psalm 35. It's a psalm of David, and it is a prayer, of course, like most of them are. It's a prayer for deliverance. Deliverance not from what you might think. It's what we're sort of getting used to. It's deliverance from his enemies. David had a lot of enemies. How did he get them? Same way you and I got them. You said yes to Jesus. You asked Jesus into your life, and people didn't like you all of a sudden. They just came out and said, man, you Christians are weird. I saw in the headlines today a Christian man and wife starved their one-year-old child to death because God told them to. And the Muslims are going around telling us how peaceful they are, and the Christians go around showing what idiots they are. And it's easy to see in the long run who's going to win this one. It's easy to see why people would run from Christianity. And that's how you got those enemies. Because you said yes to Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't like you. Because they sort of mistake you for someone else. And David says, I got a lot of enemies. Remember, it wasn't his fault that Goliath came out for 40 days. Three times a day, challenging anyone in the army. Did you hear that? 40 days, three times a day, challenging anyone to a fight. And no one, and I mean no one, in the hundreds of thousands of men that were in that battle, not one of them would go out there and do it. And a 15-year-old shows up, and he's bringing food to his brothers. His dad sent him. And he happened to hear that giant. And David said, who does this uncircumcised Philistine think he is to talk that way about God? He didn't care he was putting down God's armies. He just said he's blaspheming the Lord our God. Someone ought to do something. And his brothers said, oh yeah, yeah, big talker. And David said, I'll do it. Remember that? Well, his brothers already didn't really like him. And this didn't make it any more comfortable. Remember that? Saul didn't know who this kid was, and so Saul tried to dress him up in Saul's armor. And do you remember that Saul was the tallest man in the entire nation? David was 15, and he was short for a 15-year-old. So you can imagine him trying to put on the armor of the tallest person in the country. He tried to move. He couldn't move. He took it off. Said, this isn't going to work. I'll get myself killed. He went out and killed Goliath with a rock, a little one. You know who didn't like him for that besides his brothers? The king. The king began to hate him then, and it never did get better until the king was killed. So David, who is being chased by the king, King Saul, David has never yet done anything wrong to the king. Or said anything wrong or done anything about the king that was wrong. But he still has to run and hide for his life. And you and I remember that he hid for about 10 years. 10 years. I don't know. But would you have given up long before 10 years? Would you have just plain left the country and gone far away, never to be heard from again? Just get out of this and away from it. That's the American way, you know. I'm stressed, man. This has been going on for 6 straight months. 10 years. The Apostle Paul, 17 years in the ministry, and for 17 years was never accepted by the other apostles. For the first 17 years that he served. Would you have given up before 17 years was over? And just said, this is stupid. I quit. I'm wasting my... I'm going to go and get a job. David says... In Psalm 35, verse 1, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Remember earlier we've seen the angel of the Lord, and we've talked about that probably being Jesus himself, the Son of the living God. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. You know what? There's a lesson there that we've been taught in the New Testament, but here it is clearly done. Defeat my enemies, I ask you, Lord. Turn them away. Put them on the run. But wait, who does he ask to do it? The Lord. Very wisely, now mark it down, very wisely you and I see David turning it all over to the Lord. Notice, not any time ever did David take it in his own hands, although he had opportunities. You remember the one time Saul went into the cave, all the men waited outside. Saul was in there. David was hiding inside that cave and cut off a piece of Saul's robe. I mean, he could have killed the king. And when Saul comes out, and he's a little ways down the road, David comes out and yells out, "Oh, king," whatever, and Saul turns around, David holds up that little piece and said, "You were in my hands. I could have put you to death." But there's, and he even was ashamed that he cut off a piece of the king's robe. He said, "I'm ashamed of myself for that, because this is the anointed of God. I should never touch him." There was one time when Saul was asleep, surrounded by his armies, surrounded, and his general, the general of all these Israeli armies, was there, and Saul and this guy were sleeping kind of head to head. David sneaked in, took something from Saul, sneaked back out, and got himself to safety, stood on the side of the mountain, yelled out, woke everybody up in the camp, and rebuked the general for sleeping. Said, "Do you know someone could have come in there and killed the king while you were asleep? Look, I took his water. I took his canteen." David said, "Shame on you." David could have killed the king. Why didn't he? David says, "Lord, I ask you to deal with my enemies. I ask you to do it." Romans 12:19 says this, "Dearly beloved," that's you and me, that's those of us who say, "I'm a Christian." "Dearly beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to anger or wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" If you leave it to God, he's going to do a much better job of taking care of it than you and I ever would have. Did you hear that? If you would leave it with God, our tendency is to take it in our hands as individuals and make a mess out of it. Yes, David could have killed King Saul a few times, but it would have not been according to God's will and not according to God's word. David even said it. If he dies, it's going to be by the hand of the Lord. I will not touch him. I will not lay my hand on him to kill him. But you notice his prayer. "I'm turning it over to you, Lord. You've got to do something. If you don't, I will perish. I will die. So give it to the Lord." In verse 7, "Without cause, they have hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares. Let his net that he has hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, 'Lord, who is like unto thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoils him.'" well, I like what he's got to say. And it is true if you've read through 1 Samuel. And if you've read through it, you will find that it's true. He says, without cause, they are my enemies. You know, David did nothing to deserve the treatment that he's getting. I think you know that if you've read through it. David did nothing, but it still happened. Paul did nothing to deserve. Jesus did nothing to deserve the treatment that he got. I think you know that. Walk with him through the Gospels. He did nothing to deserve the way he was treated. Many, many today do nothing to deserve the way they're being handled and the way they're being treated. Some are losing their jobs, even today, in this day that we live, because they're Christians. They're actually losing their place of employment. They're being put out of schools because they're Christians. He says that there's no reason. And David says, I leave it with you, Lord. He says, I will praise God. My bones, all of me, will praise God and will trust in God for help. This is something that you and I need to learn. Turning it over to him, leaving it with him, trusting him in it. We don't. We trust him so far. And then after we get so far, we take it into our own. All right, Lord, you got to do this. You got to do that. Well, God hasn't done it. I'm going to do this. And that's usually when we jump right out of out of the frying pan into the fire. We think we need a little bit more income. We start seeking the Lord on how to do it, and we start maybe getting ourselves into trouble. And you notice we've got enemies. We start fighting our enemies. Talking about us as individuals. Think about your life. He says, my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Has God ever yet done anything in your life that you could say it was him? I hope so. I hope so. I see so many men and women today trying to do their own ministry. And that's, I don't know, that seems to be something that is, it's becoming part of the church. They're just doing their own ministry. Whenever you do your own ministry, whenever you set it up, whenever you make it work, you're never quite sure if it was the Lord or not. Notice that? You're just never quite sure. But when God does it, you walk around going, man, look what God did. God did it. I didn't set it up. I didn't know it was coming. I had no idea. And look what God did. That's what David is saying. I will rejoice in you. You are my salvation. When you work a work, he says, I'll tell the whole world that you did. I'm just going to leave it with you. And I see so many today working so hard to make their ministry. And I know people always wanting to help you make your ministry. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? How come you don't buy some of these? Why don't you? Wait. Let's just see what God wants to do. Remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? He loved the Lord. And their battle was going to be with today or tomorrow, coming up soon. The armies were there. They were going to fight one another. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, let's go out there and see what God wants to do today. And he went out there and found some of the enemy. And he says to his armor bearer, you know what? I don't know if we should attack or not. Let's just leave it up to the Lord. If they say, we'll show ourselves. And if they say, hey, wait there, we'll come down and get you. If they say that, then we shouldn't wait here. We should, the Lord doesn't want us to fight. But if they say, hey, come up here, then we'll know God's telling us to go on up. What happened? They showed themselves and the enemy said, look, there's some of those coward Israelites. You guys come up here and we'll teach you a lesson. And what did Jonathan say? This is the Lord. And he and his armor bearer wiped out a whole bunch of guys within an acre. Remember that? And Jonathan could honestly walk away going, that was the Lord. We didn't set it up. We just went to see what God wanted to do. It is so cool when you just step out and see what God wants to do. And he sets it up because you walk away going, God did this. This was the Lord. That's what David always wanted to be able to say. That's what I think you and I always want to be able to say. Always. So we go on. Verse 11, he says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. You know, you've had that done to you. We've all had that done to us. People lie. They lie. It's impressive at how people are willing to lie. Now, they're Christians, but they'll still lie. Remember, Saul was the king of Israel. Who put him there? God did. And Saul lied and cheated and tried to make it look like it's something it wasn't. And David says, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I didn't even know. Meaning, they were saying things, well, I'm out here hiding under rocks and behind trees and in caves. They're back there saying all kinds of things. I don't know what they're saying, but they're saying things. Now, I've seen that done quite often here in this area. I hear things about me that happened years ago, and I say to people, that never happened like that. Where on the earth did you hear that? They're still saying that over there. They're lying. Why are they doing that? He says, false witnesses rise up. They lay to my charge things that I didn't even know. I know that you've experienced that. They rewarded me for good to the spoiling of my... evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. Now imagine that. They rewarded me evil for good. David let Saul live. And what did Saul say to David? Saul said, you are more honorable than I am. I know that you are chosen of the Lord. Didn't he? David wasn't stupid, though. What did David do? When Saul went home, David went where? The other way. Kept hiding. And Saul was lying, of course, and continued to try and kill him. You've probably, if you've been walking with the Lord a little while, you've probably been handled the same way. You've done good, and the reward you got for it was evil. Has it happened? That's what David is saying. They rewarded me evil for good. But as for me, here's what I did. When they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned to mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. He says, when I heard that the king was sick, or when I heard they were having troubles, I prayed for them. I humbled myself. I even fasted and prayed. Just as if it was my own mother that was in trouble, or my own close friends. Think about that. What did Jesus say? Do good to those who persecute you. You know, and say all manner, pray for those, bless those that persecute you. That's what David is saying that he did. By the way, isn't that what Jesus did too? Didn't he bless those? Didn't he pray for those who despitefully used him? What should we do? Do good to those. Pray for those. Bless those. Those who are saying bad things about you. Those that are, as he's going to say, laying traps for you to get caught in. That's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit. It's also going to take, as we read in Romans 12:19, give place to wrath. Don't let your anger get in there. Or you'll hurt yourself. And it won't turn out to be a blessing. You'll see. That's what he's saying. Verse 15, in mine adversity, he says, though I was praying for them and humbled myself for them, in my troubles they rejoiced. They gathered themselves together. Yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I didn't even know it. They did tear me and ceased not. That just means they were behind his back, ripping him up. You and I know that feeling. That happens to us more than we really even know. Tonight, somewhere, there's bound to be somebody bad or talking bad about me. Has to be. Just has to be. You've been talking about the Word of God. You've been telling others about the Lord. Then there's probably somebody talking bad about you too. While you're at church wanting to learn, somebody's out there going, what a loser. Get used to it. And pray for them. Of course, like David said, I didn't even know it. With hypocritical mockers in feasts, they gnashed upon me with their teeth. You know, that's kind of cool. He says, the hypocritical mocker, you and I today, when we read about the older days, we read about King Arthur. We read about the kings and the court. Well, in the courts, around the kings and queens and around the throne, there was what you and I would call a jester, a joker, a fool. And that person was kept at the court to make people laugh. And that's exactly what he's saying. They used the jesters in the courts, of the courts in their feast to entertain by making fun of me, David says. While David is out there hiding, living in caves, they're back at King Saul's court. They got this hired jester who's along making jokes about David, you know, and all that. David is God's anointed. He's the king of Israel. He says that's what they were doing. And they gnashed upon me with their teeth, meaning they got together in their parties and just ripped me up. Lord, how long will you look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. Darling, another way to say that would be precious. What he's talking about is my only one. I will give you thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among many people. He said, I prayed for my enemies when they were sick. I prayed for them. And I got evil returned to me for good. Jesus said that would be. They mocked him. They laughed at him. You know what they were saying? As we read, they were saying, oh yeah, he killed the giant. It was a lucky shot. Look, he's scared of King Saul. He continues to run and hide. He won't stand up to the king. They were just mocking David. And he says, that's what they're doing to me. Let not them that are my enemies wrongfully rejoice over me. Neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye hath seen it. You know, all he's saying there, in case you're thinking, what's that? What he's saying is, don't allow my enemies to get away with what they're saying and to get away with what they're doing. You know, I like that statement. Don't allow my enemies to get away with what they're saying, to get away with what they're doing. David himself turns it over to the Lord. What is our tendency? We're going to go in there and tell them how bad they are and how right we are. I didn't do anything. You guys are that. Yeah. Instead, David said, Lord, I give it to you. Don't let them get away with this. You handle it. Because he knows God is righteous and God will do it. And of course, he's saying there's no reason they should be my enemies. And he's also suggesting, and as we read it, there are false accusations. They claim to have seen David do things. That's what we saw in the last verse I read, which was verse 21. When they say, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. What they're saying is, we've seen David do things that are worthy of death. We've seen him. He's not this nice guy. We know. They're just lying about him. It's not true, David says. But Lord, I'm going to leave it with you. Amazing that David hid in caves for 10 years. And all 10 years, he was the rightful king. At any moment, he could have just said, I'm tired of this. I'm going in there, going to take our men, and we're just going to, we'll capture the king. We'll sneak in on it. We'll kill him. Instead, he continued to say, Lord, the throne is yours. And whoever you want on it, you will put on it. Today, I'm hiding in this cave. If you want me on the throne, you're going to have to put me there. I wish that attitude were rampant throughout the church. I wish that we could see that throughout the church. to see men going, Lord, if you want me behind the pulpit, you're going to have to pick me up and put me back. We're seeing the opposite. God wants me back there. Scoot over. David. We learn a lot from that guy. And then you see Jesus. When Jesus did miracles, he didn't start a magazine with his picture on every other page. And here I am praying for the children. And there I am. Look, healings. Look at the multitude. Yay, they come to me. Jesus, when he healed someone, many times would say to that someone, don't tell anybody. Just don't say anything. Well, that wouldn't work in today's society. How could you have a radio ministry? How could you get rich? Well, as a matter of fact, he didn't get rich. He had nothing when he came into the world, and he had nothing when they crucified him, except for the clothes on his back. They took those and played games and shared them. That was the Son of the living God. And you see David, who is the anointed king, just like Jesus, who is the anointed one, not on the throne. See, David is a type of Jesus Christ for that very reason there. Let's go on to verse 22. This thou hast seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. That's another thing I think is important to note. If you're underlining, God sees. We've seen that in Psalms already. We've seen that throughout Scripture. But remember, God sees. He sees what's going on in your life. Someone has hurt you. Maybe they've ripped you off. I don't know what situation you're in. All of us together could say, but Lord, are you noticing what's going on here? And he would look at you and say, yes, I'll handle it. Wait, well, come on, hurry up. I mean, they are saying this and they're cheating us and we're going to lose money and it's going to be bad. God says, trust me. And do we? We should. Oh, we panic easily, don't we? We do. We panic very easily. I think about ministry and how God does it. And there was a church in this town that was in this area that was so large 3 months ago. Largest in the area. And today it's about to shut down. In a mere 90 days, it goes from being the biggest there is to nothing. Now, why can't that happen here? Good news, it can. It's every bit of it is up to God. I hope you know that. Every bit of it is up to the Lord. And so, we teach the Bible when we can. We don't assume we always will. We teach every time we get a chance. We gather together every time we get a chance. We worship, we praise, we study God's Word. People want us to change. The high schoolers want us to change. The junior hires want us to change. We have all kinds of people that want us to change. Don't do so much Bible. You're running people off. Do more pizza. Well, if there's one person that's into pizza, I am. But not at the cost of the Bible. So we'll keep doing that until we're finished. And David says, you have seen, O Lord. Keep not silence. O Lord, be not far from me. Stir up yourself and awake to my judgment, even to my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, ah, so would we have it. Let them not say, we have swallowed him up. Don't let him win, is what he's saying. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice at my hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. David says, I know that you see it. I'm trusting that you will work, that you will move on my behalf. Not because I'm worthy, but because you are good. You are almighty. I trust in you. Whatever you say in my life, that's what is in my life. Whatever you do with my life, that's what happens to my life. That's what he's saying. And he says, God will put to shame those that gloat over the suffering of his children. God will put to shame everyone who gloats or mocks at the suffering of his children. You see many of them killed during the Great Tribulation under the altar in heaven crying out saying, when are you going to avenge our blood? Those are tribulation saints that had their heads chopped off, that were killed. When are you going to avenge it? And God says, there's a few more of you that need to die, and then we're going to go. We'll take care of it. Notice, God says, I understand, and I will take care of it. That's what David is saying. God's going to put to shame those that gloat over the suffering of his children. God always knows, and God will always take care. Verse 27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them be, or say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which had pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And my tongue shall speak of the righteousness, or thy righteousness, and of thy praise all the day long. Those that look to God for deliverance, for vindication, if you are doing that today, and I encourage any one of us that are Christians to look to Him for that deliverance, for that vindication, to look to Him to handle it. Because if you do, and let Him, you notice, you'll shout for joy. You will praise. You'll be thrilled. And there will never be this nagging in the back of your mind that says, did God do it or did I do it? I always, always want to be able to say, look what God did. That's what we try to do. Look what God did. Too many people are trying to, they work hard and work hard, and they try to put it all together, and they put it together, and they go, boy, God has blessed us. But the trouble is, in the back of their hearts, they're not quite sure if it was all their efforts or if God really did it. And so some of them, I've noticed, start to think, I'm pretty good at this. I know one guy who told me, I don't bother teaching people. I just start churches. He's got a master's in church growth and whatever that is. And he said, I just start churches. Well, what happens to them? I get that thing up and going and I'm gone. Yeah, you don't have to be there and put up with all the trouble. You're gone. You go start another one. He's got a master's in church planting. That amazes me. Church growth and church planting. But in the back of your heart, you're never quite sure if God did it or was it your training that did it. That's why I like Paul. He says, when he shows up to Corinthians, you know, I have determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So whatever happens here is going to be by the power of the living God. No one will get credit but God Himself. That's the way you want it. That's the way we want it. That's the way David says it's got to be. I'm going to leave it with you, and I'll shout for joy when you work your work. Excuse me. Chapter 36, which is short, we'll do that one. This is to the chief musician, Psalm of David again, of course. Good old David. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. Easy to understand. The sinfulness of the wicked is simply based on the fact that they do not reverence the Lord God. It's that simple. Make sense? You go out there and you'll say to people, you know, that lifestyle you're living, that's no good. They say, oh, I think it's fine. Yeah, but God's word, I don't care about God's word. I don't even believe in God. What are they telling you? Well, easy. The sinfulness of the wicked is based on the fact that they don't fear God. They don't reverence Him. They don't even believe in many cases that He exists. They do not fear the Lord and they don't care about Him. And you say, you know, you guys are living together and God would not have you doing that. And they go, oh man, that's old fashioned. We don't care about that. You know, what are they saying? We don't care about what God has to say. We don't reverence Him. We don't care. Well then, you can believe the sinfulness is going to be rampant. They don't believe that He will do anything about it either. I see that a lot anymore. You probably do too, where you work or where you go to school. You say, man, this is no good. And people say, oh, you believe that? That's out of the Bible. That's a fairy tale. Man, no, God is coming back. They go, give me Him. He's not coming back. He's dead. You can go find Him and He's not alive. And what are they saying? Nothing's going to happen to me. God's not going to do anything about this. Peter says that's a really rotten attitude. And Peter says that the scoffers in the last days are going to come. And they're going to say, there's no rapture, there's no millennium, there's no nothing. It's all been the same since the fathers fell asleep. And we keep saying Jesus is coming back, and because he hasn't shown up yet, people go, you're still saying that, man? I got an email, it was maybe about 2 weeks ago, and one of my friends asked me, are you still telling people Jesus is going to come back? Man, you were saying that in 73. You know, I was. And I still believe he's coming back. But you know something? The wicked, the sinfulness of the wicked is based on the fact that they don't think that he's even alive. They don't care. And they live their lives accordingly. You and I should be different than that. For he flatters, the wicked flatters himself in his own eyes, till his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise. In other words, he's kind of a dummy. And to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He abhors not evil. The wicked commit evil continuously. Do you remember when God was going to flood the place way back there when Noah was around? The Bible says that God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that the evil intent of his heart was wrong or evil continually. That everything he imagined was no good. Go to movies. No, don't. But if you do, most everything that the movie makers imagine is no good. Notice that? They can't seem to come up with something that's good. It's real rare anymore. I mean, they have stooped to going back to comic books. Because they've run out of bizarre ideas. So they've now stooped to going back to what we read when we were kids. And then they make the comic book characters perverted. Their imagination is wicked all the time. Is it possible that you could make a movie and not offend God? I think so. Is it possible to write a book, even a fiction book, and use your imagination and not offend God? I think it is. Sure it is. Then why can't people do it? Well, here it is. We can read it together. They flatter themselves in their own eyes, until, of course, their iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He's left off to be wise. There it is. He can't do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not hate evil. That's kind of interesting. They devise wickedness on their bed. You know what that means in our language? The evil go as far as planning their evil for the next day as they are drifting off to sleep. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, tomorrow I'm going to do this to what's-his-name's car before he gets up. I'm going to loosen the tire. You know, when I get to work, when I get to school, you know what we're going to do to what's-his-name's locker or what's-her-name? They drift off planning to sin. That's how messed up they've become, he says. They even go to sleep planning their evil for the next day. Thy mercy, on the other hand now, thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. And thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Now think about it. We've just been talking about the wicked, and all of a sudden it seems like out of nowhere he changes his thought. But he's not. Think about the wicked who ignore God, and then think about what we know about God. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. That's the God they're ignoring. That's the God they choose to not want. And that's the God. He is merciful. He is kind. He is faithful. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. He keeps alive mankind. He keeps alive the animal kingdom. This is the God that they choose to not listen to. The God that we serve, the God that the wicked reject, is full of mercy. And his mercy is high above the earth. He's kind, he's faithful, he's righteous. You would think if they would just stop and take a look at him, they would see. If you would just stop and look back at your own life, you would see how merciful God is. How many of you, don't raise your hands, ever had to learn to drive? Now, was God good or what? Because you were learning to drive when some of us were already driving. You could have hurt us. God protected us. Put huge pillows around you. You think about the kindness of God through your life. Just look back. Take a moment or two and think about the kindness of your life. I think about the many times, I mean many, that I have been shot at in my life. And those were hopefully non-Christians that were shot. I don't know. I like to think that. Or the places I've been where bombs fell out of airplanes onto the ground. Think about your life. Think about the mercy involved in our lives. And you say, my life's been messed. Yeah, well, you're still here too. I guess that's not really that much of a blessing if you think about it. Look at what God's done for you. Wait till you get there. And He maybe shows you every time He stuck up for you and kept you from killing yourself or kept you from killing somebody else. Oh my goodness. You know, God is so kind. He is so faithful. And the wicked choose to ignore Him. They don't reverence and fear the Lord. And their lives reflect that. And even their own sin turns gross before them. But they don't hate evil, and they should. Verse 7 says, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, because of that, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. He says, God's loving kindness is so great that we that belong to Him can actually take refuge in Him. His loving kindness is so great toward you that even tonight you could run to Him and hide there if there are troubles going on in your life, if there's danger in your life. You could run to the Lord like chicks run to their mama under that hen and hide under wings. Jesus says to Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, how many times, and He's talking about through their history, not just while He was here for 3 years, but through their history, how many times I wanted to gather you together and protect you. I would have just gathered you together if you'd have run to Me, and I would have protected you, and you wouldn't do it. You notice, God's loving kindness is so great, we can hide in the Lord. God will provide for those that trust in Him. Now, in contrast, the wicked, He doesn't provide. They're on their own. How would you like to be on your own in this world right now with the way things are going? With the crime, the way it's going? With the bizarre things that are happening to people? Those who put their trust in God have security in Him. Notice that? And He provides for them and gives them eternal life in His presence. His light, we read. In thy light shall we see light. You're given eternal life in Jesus Christ, is what He's saying. Verse 10 says, O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. He prays as he closes, and we'll do the same, for God's continued protection. And I think we always should pray for God's continued protection. And he says, keep me from pride. I think we should pray that God would keep us from pride as well. Because, see, pride would destroy me. Pride would destroy you. Pride would destroy us. Pride destroys people. Whole groups of people. And he says, and I'm looking to you that you would finally destroy the wicked. Now, if you read through the rest of Scripture, you're going to come to the end of the book eventually, the book of Revelation near the end. You're going to find out that God will destroy the wicked. It may seem like it's slow to you. It may seem like it's never going to happen. It may seem really ugly and dark, and it is out there. But you've got a promise. I've got a promise. We've got a promise. God will destroy the wicked. It's coming. It's coming. Be patient. Preach the gospel. Be instant. In season, out of season. When it's convenient, when it's inconvenient. Be ready to give an answer to anyone who, what does it say? Anyone who asks you. Don't give answers to people that don't care. Give answers to people that are asking. It's a big difference. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is holy unto the dogs. We need to learn those things. Trusting in God. I don't know what is going on in your life. I don't know. Maybe everything's coming up roses. That's great. Won't last, but praise God that it is. Maybe you're right in the middle of a deep, deep valley. I don't know. But wherever we are, whatever's going on in our lives as individuals, just as well as a group, what we do is ask God to take care of it. God needs to handle it. Let God work in your life so that you walk away going, man, I didn't do that. God did that himself. God healed. God built it. God turned it around. God worked a miracle. You'll be able to say it as long as you don't finagle it yourself. If we can keep our hands off of it, God will bless it. And if we can keep our name off of it, God will get all the glory and will continue with it. Put that, as we close, into application in your own individual lives. Let God work that into our hearts. Let's bow our heads.